My name's Bob. It's good to have you here this morning. And I get to take a few minutes and talk about Thanksgiving and some perspectives on Thanksgiving that I'd like to kind of share with you as we head into the rest of the service. The first thing I want you to know about Thanksgiving is that it's only possible from the right perspective. Well, how many of you have this experience? You are, let's just say 7 or 8 years old. And you have an aunt that, while you appreciate her, is crazy as a loon. Anybody but me? It's interactive. You can put your hands up. And she thought that you would really appreciate a hand-knit sweater that was the ugliest thing you've ever seen in your life. But she wraps it and gives it to you and makes a big deal about it. And your parents look at you, and you know what they're communicating to you is that you should be thankful. And that you should vocalize your thanksgiving to said aunt from a heart overflowing with gratitude for something you wish you'd never seen. Anybody been there? Only me. Okay, I understand. I've said to my kids, say thank you. And they'll go, thanks. Did I get that right, Shelby? Thanks. Really appreciate it. Thanks. And it just means so much when they go, thanks. It's heartfelt and it's real. You know, our perspective on whatever it is we're giving thanks for means everything. And that a true heart of thanksgiving really begins with the right perspective of what it is we're appreciating or giving thanks for. For instance, if you come to your table and you sit down and you just throw your head down and go, thank you, Jesus, for the food. Amen. Let's eat. I don't know how grateful you really are or how thoughtful you really were, but you went through a ritual that said thanks. However, if you hadn't eaten in some time and there hadn't been food available for some time, And you sat down at the table and somebody had lovingly shared what little food they had with you. And you looked at it and you knew that it was giving life. And you bowed your head and you said, God in heaven, for this that I don't deserve and could never have earned, but that you have provided. I'm truly grateful. It changes everything. So let's talk about perspective for a minute. In Romans chapter 1, you can turn to it if you have it, your Bible's with you. Beginning at verse 19 and down to verse 22, here's what is said. Paul's talking about the wrath of God, actually, and he says this. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Now, I like this chapter in Romans 1, and Paul is, in a sense, building a case, and he says, God, his anger, his wrath against mankind is going to be poured out. And he makes a really good point because he said God has really revealed himself to mankind. And he says this, God was evident. He says God made it plain in creation, the world that he made. You can't look around and deny the existence of order and of a creator. Nor can you in your heart deny the existence of the fact that you were created to enjoy a relationship with God. That reality is just in you. And he says God himself, in his almighty hand, made it plain that he exists and that he created us to have a relationship with him. And so it says, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The second thing I notice about this right perspective thing is that God was evident and then God was ignored. While God was able to be known, and God was acknowledged, the verse tells us, or the passage tells us, he was ignored. His eternal power was kind of just passed by. And his divine nature was sort of just not relevant to today. And slowly but surely, the perspective shifted from acknowledging a God who is evident and reveals himself to being all about here, all about now, and all about us. And man became proud. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. How many of you really see around us this, I deserved, I earned, I did? The attitude in our culture and in our society that what I have, I've acquired. And it's only through my smart thinking and my hard work and my strategic planning and my that I have. And there's no acknowledgement that God did or provided or was involved in what it is that you enjoy. And it's here that we find the perspective that we need to know. Because there's confusion and consequence when man becomes proud. It says, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And the consequence of not acknowledging God was futile thinking, dark hearts, and foolishness. My point was, it's only possible to give thanks from the right perspective. It's only possible to be full of thanksgiving in our heart when we start from a perspective of who God is, of recognizing what he has made evident and revealed, his eternal power, his divine nature. And it must start there, and we must not ever get to the point that we stop seeing God's enablement and start feeling our entitlement. Well, secondly, I think a right perspective gives you a right posture. I've been watching this show on TV lately. Is anybody else hooked on this, The Dog Whisperer? Have anybody seen it? There's this guy, and he's like really good at it. Somebody back there's laughing. Somebody watches it. He's supposed to be, somehow he understands the mentality of dogs. And when you have a problem dog, he comes along and he deals with your problem dog. And I watched one the other day, and he walked in the room, and this dog had bitten everybody and just went crazy whenever somebody came in the room. And they were saying the dog might have to be put down. And his posture was not one of fear. And he talks a lot about the dog can read you and the dog understands. And when he came in, he didn't acknowledge the dog. He didn't focus on the dog. He, in a sense, ignored the dog, but took charge in the room. And it was amazing, the response of the dog. Do you know that posture is important and that our perspective on God determines the posture of our hearts? You see, if you come in and you think, God, are you ever lucky I came today? I got up and got dressed and I'm making time for you and I'm going to church and boy, you should be pleased with me. I sure hope the pastor spent some time on his message, because I hate to waste my time. Here I come, Lord. You see, your posture's off because you don't have a right perspective of a holy, eternal, divine God. However, if you get up and say, I can't believe that the creator of all the universe, a holy, divine God, created us. And what's a relationship with me? And this morning, I get to prepare my heart. And I get to come and I get to remember who God is and what he's done, and I get to praise him and give thanks to him. You see, your posture is completely different. And if you want to do a fun little study, go through scripture and find out every time they came into contact with the Almighty God, the response of people. And it's just like Isaiah. He just falls on his face and says, well, who is me? I'm a man of unclean lips. In the presence of a holy, perfect God, I daren't stand. You see, your perspective has a lot to do with your posture. Philippians 4, 4 to 7 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." Three things it says here. First, rejoice in the Lord. Always, I say it again, rejoice. Get your perspective right. Remember who it is. And remember what He's done. Secondly, let your gentleness be evident to all. Isn't that a posture statement? Isn't it a statement that you don't come in aggressive, demanding, but that you come in ready to meet with the Almighty God? And that you treat one another that way? Let your gentleness be evident to all. If you want to do a little study here, pick that apart and understand that the gentleness speaks of a posture of the heart and an attitude of service. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. When you recognize who God is, all of a sudden it starts giving you an avenue to relate to God and begin to communicate with Him with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. Now here's where I have some problems. My posture is often this. Ow! Oh, stop! Life's hard! They were mean to me, God! Isn't your posture like that sometimes? Oh, I didn't like that. Oh, couldn't you do something about that? Oh, my friend is sick and you're able to change it. Can't you change it? The petition is this. The eternal, almighty, holy God. When your perspective is right, your posture is a heart filled with gratitude. And when you come before Him to talk about your life, you do so thankful for the relationship that's provided, the gifts He's given, and the road that He's allowing you to walk. And it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Let me encourage you again, dig that out and get the Jewish word shalom in front of you. Wholeness, completeness, and at rest in the midst of the storms of life. That's the promise. That's what will guard your hearts and minds. Yeah, your perspective on God provides your posture in coming to God. And then a truly thankful heart glorifies an almighty God. Psalm 100, David says, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God." Get your perspective right. "It is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Understanding that, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, His love endures forever, His faithfulness continues through all generations. I love the focus on who God is, the focus on what God has done, and the response from hearts full of wonder and praise that gives honor and glory to God. So let's ask the big question. So what? Time for a perspective check. Am I clear on who God is and what He's done? Have I become accustomed? Am I in danger of adopting the perspective we find in Romans chapter 1? He is the eternal, divine, holy, almighty God who has taken action to reveal Himself to mankind and then to provide a way for mankind to have a relationship with Him. Oh, I need to glorify Him as such and give thanks. Once my perspective check is done, I need to do a posture check. Does my understanding of God affect my preparation to come to Him and how I'm giving thanks? Am I coming in with an understanding of because of who God is? I position myself this way and I praise Him. You see, on Thanksgiving Sunday, this is important stuff. Because in Romans 1, it says that when you stop seeing God for who He is and stop giving thanks to Him for what He's done, the next step is that your thinking becomes off. And then you start making foolish decisions. And if you want to know what happens, read the rest of Romans chapter 1. It's the seven steps to degradation and to consequence. So my praise response this morning is the decision to check my perspective, to adjust my posture, and to praise God. I give thanks to God. Would He be glorified? I love reading my Old Testament, and I love how the Bible lays out some things for us. And you know what they did really, really well? They had parties. They had feast days, right? They had celebrations. They knew how to check their history and how to set aside times when they just partied and had feasts for days on end and remembered things. And when the people of God got together, there was the reading of the Word of God, and there was the response of people, but there was also a celebration that happened. Many of you know the story of the Passover and how when God delivered His people from slavery and out of Egypt, that was the night that if they put the blood on the doorpost, the angel of death passed over. And ever after, the Passover is a huge celebration, right? We have these moments that remind us of something significant and really take us back to what they were getting at in Romans 1, where our perspective is renewed. In fact, even the idea of a Sabbath rest is to make us stop what we're doing and what's keeping us busy and focus us on God again and help us remember what it is that's important and refocus ourselves. And so we have this awesome opportunity where Jesus was with His disciples and He was talking to them and He instituted something called the Last Supper or Communion. And He said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do this again until we're together. And I'm going to put some real deep significance to some symbols here. And I'm going to ask you to do this together in remembrance, where you stop for a minute and check your perspective. Where you stop for a minute and remember that Almighty God loved you and that He sent His Son, whom He loved, to take your place because of sin. And that Jesus died an absolutely horrific death. And His blood was shed for you and for me. It's a sobering reminder. It's a moment where we stop and we remember that that happened for us. And you can put your name in there. Well, now that we've checked our perspective, in 1 Corinthians, when Paul's talking, he says, make sure you adjust your posture. He says, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, don't do it in an unworthy way. Don't cheapen it. Don't miss the significance of stopping for a minute and remembering. This was Almighty God. And the only response from me can be gratitude and recommitment. And then, when you stop and remember who God is and what He's done, and as you rededicate yourself to leaving here and reflecting Him in your world, to knowing Him and walking with Him and loving Him, well, as that happens, you find you're renewed. And your heart begins to praise from a different place. So this day, we're going to allow you to just stop and give thanks as you remember what it is God's done. To adjust your posture and say, forgive me, Father, for where I've taken it for granted, where I haven't walked the way I should have walked, where that hasn't impacted my life the way it should. And renew in me the love for one another that leads to life transformation. So I'm going to ask the elders to come. And Chris is going to walk us through the partaking of the elements.